Welcome to the ULM Forum. I'm Jay Curtis. My special guest today, the 8th president of the University of Louisiana at Monroe, Dr. Nick Bruno, is here. Welcome back to the ULM Forum.
Good afternoon, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
Glad you could fit us into your schedule. You've got a very busy weekend planned here for the weekend, for homecoming, but also taking care of a lot of other business while you're here.
Yeah, mostly just meeting with people, Jay, in different areas of the campus, meeting with the students. Had an opportunity to be at the Halloween ball last night, which was a great experience. Had breakfast this morning at the sub at 7 o'clock and got to visit with the staff there, students that came in. Had just nice visits throughout. Had dinner with some friends last night. So met with the football team, met Coach Barry. Just really packed, really not even a full day yet.
So we're ready for all of the homecoming activities continuing through tonight and ending with the game tomorrow.
Absolutely. Going to the business forum. And then on to some afternoon meetings and, of course, the bonfire tonight and the volleyball game.
I think a lot of folks are looking forward to maybe catching a glimpse of you at some tailgating tomorrow. Would that be a good place
Absolutely.
To look for you?
Absolutely. I'll be there. And, of course, that I have fond memories of tailgating when we were here in those 3 years, 2002 to 2005. Love that. It was a great weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing people that I'm sure will be there, as well as new people that will be there. So looking forward to it. Just having enough time to at least say hello and hope to have more time to spend with them pretty shortly.
Well, a lot of people, certainly in the university community, are familiar with you from when you were here before.
Yes.
But a lot of people in the larger community, our KEDM listening area, who don't know, who is Nick Bruno?
Well, Nick Bruno is a 59-year-old married man with 3 children. 35 years of experience in higher education. My early career was in public accounting and corporate accounting for 4 years prior to starting university at Southeastern. Spent 27 years at Southeastern and came here for 3 years and been at the system office for 5.5 years. So it seems like a short time, but it really has been a long time. Personally, I was raised on a dairy farm, raised beef cattle. Had an oil business with my brother for a period of time, almost 20 years. And it's just a lot. I like to garden. I like to fish. I like to spend time with my family, and I read a lot. I tell everyone, Dr. Moffitt and all the presidents I've worked with have always said they don't know how I have time to read. But I love to read, and unfortunately, my reading is based on autobiographies and business trends and such like that. So when I was packing up this week at the system office, I offered the staff any books that they'd like, and of course they looked at me and said, "You're probably the only one that bought these books." So, but it does give me a good perspective, and sometimes perspectives that are not the norm that we hear in a day-to-day activity. So, thank you.
So, after some time in public accounting, you said you started at Southeastern
yes.
Louisiana.
Yes.
What did you do there, and kind of how did that get you the bug for higher education?
Interestingly, I started as the what was called the property control manager, which took care of movable property, as you're familiar. We tag it and inventory it and so forth. I also was responsible for the logistics, all of the receiving and supply function. From there, I went on to director of physical plant, went on to director of auxiliary operations, became an assistant vice president for special initiatives, which got me in more to the academic area, continuing education, distance learning, international student programs. So, and then came here as the vice president of business in 2002, on to the system as the vice president of business there in 2005, and now here. So I think what it's done for me is actually allowed me to see the university from the bottom up. And I know its inner workings. I understand how a university operates. Notwithstanding the specifics of who does what, but that it's critical that all of the pieces fit together in a good combination, and that by changing the schedules on something as what some people would perceive as minor, changing a custodian's schedule to how it affects the academic environment can be significant. So that's the perspective I have from that experiences.
Spending as much time as you have in higher education, that really your career, what makes you passionate about higher education?
Oh, it's the students. There's no question. It's the greatest job on earth. You know, when I was a student, when I became, when I entered as a freshman, first generation, I'm a first generation graduate. I remember the dean at that time, and of course universities were much different. The deans told you what to do and you did them.
Right.
If you didn't, you were out.
Okay.
But I remember he saying as a young administrator that there were certain things we need to keep in mind, that our clients never age, that they're generally always 19 to 24. So it has a tendency to keep you enthused, it keeps you excited, and it allows you to continue to seek new information, new trends, and so forth. I mean, just over my 35 years, you know, certainly a lot of things have changed. Fashion has changed. Music has changed.
If you think of technology has changed.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In 1984, Southeastern, when I assumed a role as director of auxiliaries, we had two terminals in our office, you know, no laptops or PCs at that time. But the thing about it is that the core element of our job never changes, and that's the student's desire to learn and the student's desire to be better. That mission and that goal for higher education remains the same regardless of the number of years. So that's what keeps me excited and enthusiastic about this job.
Now, your PhD, your doctorate, came from the University of Mississippi.
Yes.
In educational leadership.
Yes.
Why educational leadership?
Well, it was kind of a decision I made. There were two points. Number one, at the time, I had several colleagues at Southeastern who was enrolled in the program at Ole Miss. It was a great program. It was probably the first time we had, I was aware of an executive-type delivery. I would go up there every other weekend on Friday afternoon and stay through Saturday afternoon. So I was able, as a working person who had a family, to achieve the degree. But the higher education leadership allowed me to take my business and accounting background and blend it into the more academic, administrative roles that are specific to higher education. So it allowed me to kind of complete the combination of academic training, work experience, and then moving into this other more broad area of higher education learning that I wanted.
For people who don't know you very well, you are very connected to your family.
Yes.
Tell us about them.
Well, I, of course, like most people, you know, they're kind of the focus of what we do. We work for them, and, you know, they provide us the stress in life that keeps us going, as well as the fascination with life. I have a son, 32, whose name is Stephen. I have a daughter, 17, Victoria, who was a member of the ULM family when I came up here. She's a senior in high school this year. Christina, who is kind of our little gregarious one, she's 15, and she's a sophomore in high school. And, of course, my wife, Linda, who's the love of my life. And we've had a pretty good go. And, you know, it's fun. It's something that's exciting for us, but we are a team. So we're bringing our team to the ULM team and be part of theirs.
Just published in the paper today was the fact that you're going to be here on the job on November the 8th.
Yes.
In between then and certainly this weekend, a chance to build some relationships with the community as well as with alumni and students and here on campus.
Yes. The outpouring of congratulatory messages and warm wishes and just questions about me and what we're going to do and how will we do it. Over this week, as you know, a special email account was set up by Laura Woodard. And, you know, it's one of those things that we're very excited about because I've received over 200 messages, and they've all been very warm. I know a lot of people in the area. I've met a lot. The students came up to me last night. It really was a warm welcome. Hey, we don't know you, but we're so-and-so, and we wanted to meet the new president. That's real enthusiastic. It fires you up. I mean, there's no way you can just be passive about that. Next week, I'm taking the first 3 days of the week off to take care of some personal business before I come up. Thursday and Friday, I'll report to the system office and begin to finalize that. I'll have another visit or two down there to deal with some budget issues, but those are positive for the system and for the campus to be aware of what's going on. So it'll be a busy week, but we're ready to do it.
Well, just walking in today, you mentioned that you are really focusing, to begin with here, on building relationships.
Yes, yes.
Why is that important to you?
Well, it's important in any organization that everyone knows that they're a part of it. and that their part is respected no matter what they do. Through all of my career, I worked for 6 presidents, 2 of whom I worked for twice in different levels and different capacities. And I've learned styles from each one, and each president contributed a little piece of information that goes into my my leadership style, you know, the strong, the relationship building and so forth. But relationships are the basis of everything we do. If people know they can approach me, if people know that what I tell them will be straight, that they may not agree with me, but they'll respect my position, hopefully. And sometimes that understanding of a position takes a little while to learn. But I think it's important, first and foremost, that I earn everyone's respect and that we insist on each other respecting the whole team. So it's me respecting faculty, staff, students, community, me earning their respect, and then their respect of each other. So open communication, respect of opinions and thoughts, and that'll build into a great university.
Since the interview process and dealing with different candidates and different members of the community or the students coming out in favor of a particular candidate, right. After last Friday, you're the guy. And really, what's the process now to start bringing that community together, the university community, the students, the faculty, the staff, and the community?
Well, we just talked about that, Jay. It's important for me to reach out. It's important for me as the president to earn their respect, as we just talked about. I have been just really moved by the outpouring of support. We talked about that earlier. But individuals who did have a preference for other candidates have contacted me, members of the foundation, students, community members. As I said, when I accepted the position, I urged everyone to now channel their passion towards ULM. ULM is what we have in common. Whether we agree with each other or not, we're all here for this university. And that's the improvement of this university and the movement forward of this university. And while, you know, if an individual cannot get beyond that particular component of the process, then they at least cannot, be opposed to what we're trying to accomplish at ULM. We need everybody's thoughts. We need everybody's support. I don't want them to look at this as a Nick Bruno issue. I'm only one player of this whole formula that we're going to create here at ULM. ULM is a number of parts that are greater than the whole. And it's my responsibility, it's my obligation, it's my goal to bring everybody to the table. I mean, we have individuals in the community, we have individuals that are alums, we have even administrators who have left this university not so happy for one reason or another. And it's not unique to ULM. It's in every organization. But I want to reach out to those individuals. I think it's important to have our history. Our past presidents need to be involved, our past vice presidents, faculty, and everything. So it is important that everyone now join hands for the betterment and to advance ULM. I'm pledged to that, and I feel confident after this week that everyone, no matter their preference for candidate, will rally behind ULM and support me in moving it forward.
Dr. Nick Bruno is the 8th president of the University of Louisiana at Monroe. And certainly, sir, you'll be out and about the community, the bonfire tonight, tailgating tomorrow.
Volleyball this afternoon or this evening. Yes, sir, I will.
And then some tailgating tomorrow and
absolutely,
the football game as ULM takes on Troy for homecoming tomorrow afternoon.
Yes.
Dr. Bruno, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Jay.
You can find more information on homecoming activities here at the University of Louisiana at Monroe at ulm.edu/homecoming, including the ULM volleyball game against Arkansas State at the ULM Activity Center tonight, homecoming tailgating and bonfire tonight at 8:30, and a variety of tailgating activities tomorrow afternoon before the 2:30 football game as the Warhawks take on the Trojans of Troy University at Malone Stadium. Again, that's ulm.edu/homecoming. Comments or questions about the ULM Forum can be emailed to woodard@ulm.edu. And you can hear this and other editions of the ULM Forum online at kedm.org in the listening room.